Thank you, Pastor, and thank you very much, Grace Baptist Church, for allowing us to be here with you tonight. Normally, if I get up and speak to our group, I'll speak in my language. And I start with a greeting by saying, Kasalelia. Kasalelia is similar to the Aloha greeting that Hawaiians use that greeting when they see people on a road, wherever. But this is what we say, Kasalelia. I start a service by saying, Kasalelia Mainko, and that directly to everyone in the church. And when the service is over and it's time to go home, after a few minutes of fellowship, then everybody will say Kasalelia. So I don't know if that word would something you would want to remember, but if you ever come visit us in the island, which I would love to see that happen, please come out there and visit us. We always enjoy having visitors and to come and see what the ministry is like. Maybe someday Pastor might get that opportunity. We enjoy seeing some pastors that support us that would come out and visit us. The only problem is about 9,000 miles away. So that's very long ways from this place. we are about 16 hours ahead, so over there, when it's daytime, you're sleeping over here in this part of the world. So it's funny that when we would fly from Panape, our island, we might leave at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And you fly and arrive in Hawaii, which takes about 10 hours, 8 to 10 hours. And you get to Hawaii at 2 o'clock morning. If you leave like Saturday to afternoon, you get to Hawaii Saturday 2 o'clock in the morning. So you got there before you left. That's crazy, right? Anyways, we are grateful for your faithful support to our ministry since I'm recalling the time we were here at the beginning. I think it was back in 1999. So, would I be right? Kaleo was just born, our oldest son. And so we were on deputation at that time. And so we were here at that point. I remember Pastor Godfrey was pastoring. And so we were here at that time for a missions conference. And so we are thankful for your support and prayer and financial support and everything you have done for us. We'll show you briefly of what the ministry God has called us to do in about 9 minutes in the video and give you an opportunity. If you have any question you want to ask after that, please feel free. So we'll go ahead and do that. Halfway around the world rests a tiny Pacific island known as Pohnpei. Though much of the origins of this land and its people remain a mystery, the people take great pride in their age-old customs and rituals. Pohnpei is a place where tradition clashes with modernization, where the allure of a tropical paradise is darkened with the shadow of a paradise lost. Here you will find searching, but searching in so many wrong places. I am Rickson Keeling, and this is my family. I am originally from this beautiful island of Pohnpei in the Federated States of Micronesia. I came to know Christ as my Savior at the age of 14 at a youth summer camp. In my later teens, I felt the Lord's call upon my life to be a preacher. I surrendered to that call, and after graduating high school, I left the island to attend Ambassador Baptist College in North Carolina, started by Dr. Ron Comfort.
I was raised in a Christian family and came to a saving knowledge of my Savior at the age of 5. Several years later, at a vacation Bible school, I surrendered to full-time Christian service. But it wasn't until I was in college at Ambassador Baptist College that I fully surrendered to the mission field. Not too long after that, I met Rickson, and we were married in December of 1995.
God has blessed our family with 5 children, Kaleo, Kestra, Tyler, Katrian, and Kaylin. Our first and foremost mission field have been these 5 lives. We are blessed to have been able to see all 5 come to know Christ at an early age and grow in the Lord with a desire to serve Him. Our children are an important part of our ministry, and we are truly blessed with children who love life on Ponpe and have been a huge part of the ministry God has given us. We are sent out of Northside Baptist Church in North Charleston, South Carolina, pastored by Pastor Jonathan Cresswell. Some time ago, this ministry in North Charleston felt the burden to begin a mission board through the church, and in 1999, Global Vision Ministries was born as a result of this burden. We are privileged to be a part of this ministry of missions. God has allowed us to serve in Ponpe since February of 2001. I was burdened to see a ministry start in a part of the island where there was not a Bible-believing church at the time. Ambassador Baptist Church of WHO officially held its first service in March of 2003. God has blessed this ministry since then as we've seen many come to know Christ, follow in obedience in believers' baptism, and continue to grow in the Lord, having the desire to serve Him.
Kailangan ng 10 mile o ipakita sa mga kababab and kap sa wasa kids ng mga sa tuktukot and kap kairta ng mga tuwan ko ng kot o iwi at ito kasi ang palwit at ay nasa mo.
Men yang aje uyai kapung my John Mabasa kan lakin sa wase atas ter o ate nene
o uyai kapung kalangan o my momot sukan uyaki sa wase less stream of my uyayang momot sukan makareyang Ngoy o ay panene at bilang tiyarata.
May ikapinti, may lang supporting, may kumail niyayang at pastor, may lang kapakap o supporting in sin sense ka no song cake. Song cake, ikapinti, may lang song kukat, at may lang kayo kamor, kaya yan maor na kareta ay bilang wait na nalpe.
Tami kayo men kabundi. O sa mga ikot, men na may kabaga buwagi, na may kabaga ba ang kot. Alay ang kot ya kubura mawi at pasir kilang. At kasalay ang kit marayin. O kubura po ranwot sa ang kit marayin kubura po. Buwagi sang nisawin may kabaga.
During our last furlough, we had mentioned the need for a new church building. Since that time, we have built an open-air structure on our church property where we currently hold services with the desire to eventually enclose this building. It has served us well during this time of growth in our church, but we are looking forward to having an enclosed building once again. Along with completing the main structure for services, we are hoping to prepare a better area for children's ministry as well. Our family and ministry has seen some challenges since our last furlough. In March of 2018, a devastating storm hit the island, bringing a large amount of rain. Due to the heavy rain, a mudslide occurred on our land, tearing through our home and destroying much of what was inside. We are thankful for God's protection through this time. The aftermath left us with much to repair, and we are thankful for those that came towards this project and those that came to the island to help with repairing the house and putting in a retaining wall to prevent further mudslides. While you can still see some of the effects of the mudslide, we are happy to update that our home is mud-free and safe with the repairs and renovations complete now. What are some other ministries at Ambassador Baptist Church that you can pray for? It's summer, we hold the Youth Summer Camp Ministry. Youth from all around the island come together for a week on a small outer island, a week of fun and fellowship as well as preaching and Bible study. Every summer we see many teens come to know Christ during this week and many other decisions are made. Also, every summer we hold the week of Vacation Bible School. This is another week of fun and fellowship, but geared toward the younger members of the community. We usually have as many as 100 children come out for the activities, and each summer see many children accept Christ as well. Both of these summer ministries are extremely effective outreaches for bringing in not only the young people, but often the whole families. The Lord has truly blessed Ambassador Baptist Church and its ministries in so many ways, but there are so many still on this island that have not yet come to know Christ as their Savior. There are many who have yet to hear God's love for them and His desire to see them come to know Him. We ask that you pray for this ministry, for these islands, and for these people.
Thank you. We'll give you a little bit of time if you have any questions you want to answer. I mean, you want to ask, I'll try to answer. But Micronesian islands are so many islands out there. And each island has its own language. So I grew up learning two different languages in our home, speaking two different languages. My dad is from the island of Panape where we are, and that's my first language. My mother's from another island called Kosrae, and her language is totally different from Pohnpeian language, and that's the languages we speak at home, so I'm still learning English. But we get to hear many other different languages out there. So there are so many islands with all of these different languages. And our island is about 60 miles around, not that big. And population may be around 40 to 45,000 people. But we have so many different religions. We have the Seventh-day Adventists, we have the Mormons, we have the Jehovah's Witness, we have mainly the Catholic is the main religion. And so about I want to say maybe 60% of the people on the island are Catholic people. My dad was a Catholic, my mom from another group of denomination that we would call the Protestant Church. And basically, mainly what they preach is salvation through works. And then the reason one that I've just started maybe about years ago is the Islamic religion. And so the sad thing is to find out that my relatives were the one that I brought in into the country. And so when I found out who they were, I immediately went to meet with them and talk with them, start witnessing to them. So I'm thankful that the guy that really invited them to come, his name is Enrico Keeling, and I witnessed to him many times. And before we left on this furlough trip, I led him to the Lord. And so I'm grateful. He started coming to church. He wanted to get baptized, but, you know, he has this gout joint problem. And so he could hardly move around, but I told him, I said, we'll arrange that. When I come back from furlough, we'll do your baptism. And so I look forward to do that. The man, one of the men that shared his testimony on the video, the last one, he was also a Muslim. And I witnessed to him and led him to Christ. And very, very changed man. His wife completely, I mean, it took us a little longer for his wife to get saved, but when she finally got saved, they both were really changed, like sponge soaking in everything they want to learn about God and the Bible. So I'm very grateful to see those changes in their lives. But continue to pray for this ministry. Everything up in that video is what we do throughout each year. I've always enjoy being with the young people on summer camps and preaching the young people during those camps. Like a whole week, we'll take them out to a separate island that is probably the size of smaller than your church area, and spend like a whole week with them and do games and then preach in the morning and at night, evening, and do Bible study in the middle of the day. Like split sessions where the girls would be with the counselor ladies and the boys with the men and do stuff like that. But it's a great time to work with young people's life. But our country is called the Federated States of Micronesia. There are four main islands that we consider the states. And so Panape, where we are, is where the capital is. Where my mom's from, Kosrae, is the other state. And then one is called Yap, and the other one is Chuuk. And these states, all languages are different from each other. But the government is pretty much like here. The blessing of our country coming here, we were a U.S. territory, just like Guam. And it takes about 3 hours to fly from our place to Guam. And since the Second World War, we've been delivered. And so every year we celebrate September 11 as our Liberation Day, thanking God for liberation. And so it became a country independent back in 84? 86, yeah. Anyway, so the government works just like here. And so whenever we come, we are not required to have visa. The only thing we need to have is a passport to enter the country. Now, we come to stay, like I came back in 1990 to ambassador to school. I have to get me Social Security. And then was able to work. And so all the rights for the country is similar to what you'd have. The only thing is that we cannot vote. So that's the only thing. But everything else seemed to be the same as rights that people would have here. But I'll give you time. If you have any question, feel free to ask. If not, then we'll go on to our challenge time tonight. Before get too long to have the fellowship afterwards. So the fellowship is still in my mind, so I'm thinking about that, yes. Yes, ma'am. What is the difference between your man and here? Well, okay. Vote. I can't vote, right, yes. So we have, our people can join the military, so when our people joined the military, they joined the U.S. Military. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I had a question regarding, you kind of answered about government. I take it you don't get a lot of pushback from the government, but does the Catholic Diocese of
the island give you a lot of
it's challenging at times. They have any answer for that, you know? But yeah, it's like if our people from our denomination, Baptist Church, would run for government, they cannot make it, you know. Only if you're in the Catholic Church, guarantee you'll get more votes. And if you're in the other denomination, the Protestant Church, you can trust that you'll be fine. But I've seen our people try to run for an office, and they were close, but never make it to those places. Yeah, would that answer that? I don't know. Oh, no, no. Okay. No, witnessing is, yeah. Now, if you come to, some are so strong in their Catholic beliefs, they say, I have no interest in what you're going to say. To them, Baptist churches are nude religion. So they are, you know, I'm Catholic and I'm going to die Catholic and I don't want to hear about. But, you know, it takes time. I think if you're around them long enough and they see your testimony, God can use that to open their minds to accept what you would have to say to them. But sometimes are challenging. All right. Anyone else before we continue? Yes, sir.
Are there many deaf on those islands?
Deaf?
Yeah.
Deaf, you mean?
Yeah.
Can't hear. We have few. We have few that I can recall. And even in the town where I grew up, there was young man who couldn't hear, and he's still there. They tried to learn sign language like it's taught here, and some learned that, but mostly they have their own. So you kind of learn their own ways of doing sign language. And so every time I see him, I forget how to sign with them. But he still understands. I can think of maybe at least five right now that I would remember. So maybe not that many, but it could be more than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for everything that all the blessings and the lives that God saved in the ministry God called us to do. You have a part in that, winning them to Christ. Your support, your prayers have a part in what God is doing there in our island and in our ministry. Would you please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians? I've read through this book, and now beginning on 2 Corinthians and doing them as my devotions, reading through the Bible. But I came to the last chapter, and that's where I'd like for us to look together tonight before we conclude our message, or the time of message. In verse number 1, chapter 15, I'll read it down to verse number 10. Where it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the privilege that you've given us to be here to present the ministry you've called us to do on Ponape. And I thank you for this church, for their faithfulness to support us throughout these years, and the opportunity to be back and to share with them again what you're doing in our lives there. And Lord, we want to pray that you would continue to help all missionaries around this world who are preaching your word, the gospel of Christ, to bring lost souls to you, that we would be faithful till you call us home or till you return. And help me to share what you would have me to say tonight through these verses, and we'll give you glory for all that you will do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I pick and think about these verses to share with you because this is basically what we're trying to do for these many years of service on the island of Ponape, is to preach the gospel. There are so many lost people that still need the gospel of Christ to be saved. I came to Ambassador and very thankful for the years that I was there. I met, can't remember the name, but she said, I've been there for 5 years right now. I said, don't think much about that. I was there for 6 years, so it took me longer. But for those years, God always burdened my heart to go back where I'm from. Because I think about relatives that are not saved. I think about people that are in religion, so religious, but yet lost. People that believe that someday God will weigh your good works and your bad works. And if you did many good works, then you're lucky. You can get into his kingdom. That's what I grew up listening to. I hear of people that think that if you go to church every day, you know, if you belong to a denomination, then that's enough for you. You can make it to heaven. So my heart went back home and think about people that are in lost condition. And so before we got saved, that's how we were. We were lost. But here in our reading that speaks about what Paul did is preaching of the gospel. It's very clear that everywhere Paul went, that's the message that he preached. That's the message he got saved from when he believed that Christ died for his sins, was buried, and rose again. In verse number 1, where I'd read again, moreover, brethren, as he speaks to the believers here in Corinth, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So Paul had preached the gospel before here in this place, and he had reminded them the same message he preached before unto them, a message that they have received and a message that they are standing on and still holding on this faith in Christ. And then he says on verse number 2, by which also ye are saved. We are only saved by accepting what Christ has done for us, by accepting Christ as our Savior, by asking him of forgiveness of our sins. So when I came to know Christ as my Savior, I knew I was a sinner. I knew that all the things I've heard as a child, that God will someday weigh my good works. So I found out those were not the way to get saved. But the way to get saved is by asking Christ to save you, by asking God to forgive your sins, because the Bible is clear, for all have sinned. I knew I was a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I've heard stories about Jesus coming as a baby like we would celebrate this month. heard many stories in the Bible were great stories that caught my attention, but never knew that I was still lost. Until the day I know that the only way I can be saved is by realizing I was a sinner. My good works cannot save me. My church cannot save me. My family could not save me. I'm so thankful that my parents got saved first. And I used to think as a young person that since my parents are saved, then I'm automatically saved too. But no, that's not what I realized later on. That I must personally ask Christ of my own salvation from him. And so, now in verse 2, by which also you are saved. We are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no other message that can save us. We are only saved by that. We are not saved by becoming a church member. And so, this is what we tell. This is what I share with people. On Thursday nights when we do our visitation night, we go out and we tell people about this message of Christ. You don't get saved by being a Catholic person. Now, you know, you see God's wisdom so you can approach in a way that they won't turn you off right away. But in ways where I remember as an ambassador student, Dr. Comfort would say, when you leave a place where you witness, always leave the door open. And so I seek that way. Now, maybe some that you knew right away that would say, no, I don't want to listen to you. But there are many places that after visiting these people, they would and be interested. Please come back when you can. If they didn't ask Christ then, but they always it was interested for you to come back. So we are only saved by the gospel of Christ, where we continue the reading and said, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So if we truly believe it, accepting this gospel in our life, then of course we are saved by it. In verse number 3, it explains what the gospel is. Now, I think of our own people. They speak about the gospel, and these denominations, they do all these big activities about the gospel of Christ, but yet they don't understand what it means. And I would ask some of the people back home, and I say, what does the gospel mean to you? Do you know what it is? They cannot give you an answer. But it's wonderful to be able to say to them, here's what it means. Look at verse number 3, and you turn the Bible to them, and you say, the gospel is what it says in verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. So it speaks of three things that Jesus did. He died for our sins. And to clarify, Christ died for your sins and for my sins, for the sin of the whole world. Now the gospel speaks of his death. Then next we found in verse number 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. So three things, his death, is burial. If Christ truly died, which he did, we believed. He died on the cross. And I believe when Joseph and Nicodemus buried his body, they knew that body was lifeless. And they prepared his body and laid him in a borrowed tomb. And I'm glad it was a borrowed tomb because he wasn't going to stay there long. And he stayed there for 3 days, 3 nights, 3 days, he rose again, as the Bible speaks of. And that's the third part of the message of the gospel, that Christ rose again. And when you try to clarify that to people back home, and if someone finally understand what it means, and they were ready to accept the Lord. And so that's what we know the gospel of Christ speaks about, is death, burial, and resurrection. Verse number 4, the third day, according to the scripture, what we know the scripture tells us, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12, he was bodily seen after resurrection by many people in these verses following. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me. Also have one born out of due time. So we find Paul preaching the gospel, but you know, it's not just enough to hear it. It's not just enough to know it. When we share, we want people to receive it, right? We want them to know, understand it enough where they know they need it. They need to accept that. So that it's not only just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. And that's what we want to share with the people back home. Don't just know what the gospel, understand what it is, but you need to open your heart and accept Christ as your Savior. And of course, I'm sure we have met people that can argue with you about the Bible, but you can realize as you talk to them, they've never received Christ as their Savior. And that's what I like about what Paul says. I have given you what I have also received. So if we don't have it, we cannot really share it. If we have it, then we can know how to share that. So it must be a possession, not just professing about it, but you need to know you have it. So, you know, do you have it? I'm sure a lot of us today, I can recall the time when we call out to Christ and Christ saved us. And we know from then on, we still have it, right? Jesus comes to stay with us. I'm always encouraged to remind myself that God is always with me. In times of difficulties in the ministry, there are times when you would feel so down. The thought of quitting can come into your mind, but to remember that I'm not alone. Jesus is with me. Encourages me to keep going forward. I remember one time when I was in Bible school in the old campus in the woods back behind the school. I enjoy walking down there and spend my time down there reading my Bible and praying. One day I woke up, read my Bible, had my devotion. It was a great morning. But for some reason, before noon, something got to me that got me so discouraged. And then I said, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's happening? A message came to mind, as I remember a preacher preached before in chapel. It says, when you get so down, take your Bible, get alone, start praying and read the Bible. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I took my Bible, and I was so discouraged. I said, Lord, I need a word of encouragement. Please help me. I took my Bible and went out into the woods. And I said, Lord, give me a verse that will help me right now with this feeling of disappointment, this discouragement. I sat down under this tree and I opened my Bible. And right the verse now, it may not happen to anybody, but God knew I needed that verse. I opened my Bible and it came straight down to Hebrews chapter 13. And some of you may already know. And verse number 5. Let me read that. What an encouraging words to me on that day. Verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I was so touched with that word, with those words. It reminded me that it doesn't matter if I lose anybody else, but I still have Jesus with me. What a comfort to me at that moment. I stood up and I started praising God. I said, Lord, thank you for being with me. Do you have him? Do you possess him? You know Christ as your Savior, because that's what we all need. We need to have him in our life. He needs to be in our hearts. We need to know for sure that he's with us when you get saved, when you accepted him. Then continue on where, you know, we understood the testimony of Paul. He was a wicked man, because, or a very bad man. He persecuted the church, even said in these verses that we read, down to verse number 8, He says, and last of all, he was seen of me, also of one out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not need to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What we can see here in Paul's life, that the gospel is so powerful, it changes life. From a person who hated the name of Christ and people who followed him, when he met him on the road of Damascus, he got saved, and his life started to change. And that's how we were, right? We're not perfect today, but we can say I'm better than before. I knew God now. I want to serve him now. And may he help us to serve him faithfully. Our life being changed is a testimony to those who are lost. Some people open up to listen when they see a change in your life. And they're willing to hear what you have to say. I used to hang out with the wrong crowd, with the wrong group. But when I got saved and I decided to really turn my life to the Lord, these wrong crowd, some of them would come to me and say, I see some change. What happened? And it gave me an opportunity to say, you know what? God came into my life. And I'm glad that you can see it. And I want to share that with you. I may not knew then how to really explain, but I can say, hey, come to church with me. You may find what I saw, what I found. What you see change in my life, God can do the same in yours. And so I can share lives of people that I've seen change in the ministry God has given us back home, but there's no time. But definitely there's power in the gospel. It changes many lives when people accept the Lord Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Pastor, and I'll turn this back to you. Okay.